new day. Yes, it is.
For 12 Pack Radio. Get excited, y'all.
Welcome back, everyone, to 12 Pack Radio, your podcast source for Pac-12 football news, the home of the Beta Rank College Football Statistical Model, and your home for Pac-12 gambling advice. And took one on the chin last week. Although it wasn't a disaster, but just some crazy nut-bound games that happened all over, not just the Pac-12, but all over the college football atmosphere. Now, I'm Brian Conger. Thanks for joining us. A big shout out to Dave Castor, my grandpa. Thanks for tuning in as we work through week 10. We're going to come back bigger, faster, stronger, Grandpa. Don't worry about it. It was a tough week last week, but we will learn our lessons. We're back in the lab, and joining me as always is Mr. Rob Barron from Sharp College Football. What's going on, Rob?
Oh no, I'm excited to be here. It's been a crazy ride this college football season. We were talking a little bit about some of the kind of bonkers numbers for college football this year.
It's crazy. We tried to cover the top three things or like some big storylines that happened last week. And for me, you know, I wasn't scared of the large spreads this past week. You know, you had Colorado was playing ASU, Arizona was playing USC. And they're like, basically it was all 17 point spreads, UCLA, Stanford, et cetera. And then you just have these just freaking insane things happen throughout like the week, right? Colorado gets a special teams backdoor cover in the fourth quarter. USC inexplicably, and we'll talk about this as we break down the game, kicks an onside kick, only up like 14 against Arizona, and USC's defense is just trash. And so that didn't work out well. I mean, they still won the game, but they literally gave Arizona a chance to take that game from them. There was a couple other things that happened this. Oh, yeah, freaking Utah. You know what? Utah fans, we are, this podcast is built on the strong shoulders of Utah fans. Not one of you listeners were like, "Hey, Brian, Rob, maybe you should pick Washington State," because, well, I don't know, our starting quarterback, our starting running back, and our freaking kicker are not going to be on the road at Wazoo. That would have been helpful.
Where is our insight in now? Apparently, they didn't know till like warm-ups that Rising wasn't going to go, but yeah, that was brutal.
Even if I would have known that Thomas and the kicker were out, I would have taken, because we were waffling on Washington State anywhere. I was, you picked Washington State. I was waffling on Utah. Like, I knew the spot that they were getting into. And by the way, like, credit to Utah, right? Like, they won that game straight up. Now, there was a couple weird calls in that game, but Utah straight up went into the Palouse against a good defense with a backup quarterback, a backup running back, and no kicker, and they won that game. Like, right. That's shout out to you, Utah. I know we've been kind of down on the Utes this year, but I thought that was, especially in the Pac-12 where crazy stuff happens, it's on a Thursday night. Like, I thought that was an interesting game. Anything jump out for you, Rob?
No, I mean, I think like what really jumped out for me this week was like, I mean, UCLA can, like, other than the Oregon game, continues to pile up pretty impressive performances, right? So like, keep an eye, like, we're kind of cruising towards November 19th, when we have Utah at Oregon and USC at UCLA. Keep an eye. I mean, the Bruins don't have any real massively tough games ahead of them before they get there. They've got Arizona State, and then they have Arizona, and then they're going to get USC. But this, like, keep an eye on the Bruins. Like, that, you know, they played well, better than it looked under the hood against Oregon. But they had, compared to the way some other teams have gone out and played against Stanford, like, UCLA went out and played pretty well. This could be the death rattle of Stanford. I mean, I don't think they're going to put much together out of this.
I love how they went on the road to beat Notre Dame in the midst of this. Like, it's just, yeah, the most inexplicable game, like, in a year of inexplicable games.
Right. Right. And I would say too, like, I mean, the other one, worth, I think, pointing out and like movement and where the model is grading teams, is like, Washington State had a pretty bad offensive performance against Utah, and the model just mostly downgraded Washington State for that. They continue to fall off offensively. They're now at number 6th overall in Beta Rank. And it's really made me question, hiring Eric Morris, like whether he was actually the offensive coordinator.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because he was the head coach, but I don't know if he was calling plays. I mean, as well as Cam Moore. I mean, like not like offensively, I don't think the OC or the quarterback are really working at this level. So it's worth, I mean, keeping that in your back pocket because like they did get a bump, I think an unfair bump, of course, because Rising didn't play. And the model doesn't see that. So they sit at number 19 defensively in beta rank right now. They're probably more like a, you know, in the like 25-ish range defensively.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting to see because I do think Dickert and Ward are really good at what they're doing on the defensive side of the ball. I think you can sort of probably count on Washington State as long as they are there being decent defensively. Just something to keep an eye on whether Morris keeps his job as offensive coordinator, because this is bad.
Oh, it's bad. And it was so funny. There was some random, it was somebody that like was not from the West Coast, does not listen to or watch college Pac-12 football. And he like tweeted out, he goes like, basically said, bro, why is this Washington State team throwing a, like a ton of tunnel screens? And I'm like, yes, that guy, that yeah. Even that guy knows that this offense is right. Garbage.
No, they can't trust Ward, but I mean, once upon a time, I tweeted out some things about Cam Ward, and I had a member of Cam Ward's family like DM me that I was an idiot. But I stand by all of them. Like none of this is working right now. And I think for Dickert, like the fact that you really do have one side of the ball sort of solved, like just don't sit on a bad hand. Like Morris clearly isn't working. Like hopefully they make a change.
Yeah. I mean, like Pac-12 is becoming Pac-12, right? Like it's yeah. Funny. Our friend Max Meyer was talking about like how the Pac-12 defies math. And but the thing here is like some of these spots were just like it wasn't like, you know, the USC Arizona game, like USC still should have covered that. But for I feel like I'm yeah. in the Supreme Court, but for the, you know, the onside kick, you know, ASU was winning handily. And then right. All of a sudden these 14, I mean, it's a funky. And Oregon and UCLA, to their credit, did what they were supposed to do, which is wipe the floor right. with bad defenses, and that's what they did. So we'll have to keep a look on those things. Let's get into all the games from Week 9 and cover all the games coming up in Week 10. And let's do it right after this.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510, is he declaring an emergency? There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, we're back. Talking Pac-12 football, talking Pac-12 football. What a freaking week it was. What a week it shall be as we move forward. All teams are on the schedule. We have six games this week, six games. And let's start, Rob. Let's start with Washington State at Stanford. How about that? Pac-12 Network.
Sure. Why not?
Lead up into what should be a fascinating week with some other games on the line. You have Washington State is a 5-point favorite on the road against Stanford. And I'm fascinated by this spread. I thought, I think we know what Washington State is and we know what Stanford is. Is that a fair statement, right? Like some of these other teams, like Cal, yeah. I'm still, I don't quite know what I'm getting into when I watch a Cal game. I don't quite know what I'm getting into when I watch a Utah game, but I absolutely know what's going on when I'm going to watch Stanford, Washington State.
Yeah. I mean, this game, like Beta Rank has this as Washington State by 7. And that, to be like, I think that feels fairly reasonable. You know, like the one watch out I would have here is Washington State, when they are on offense, Stanford has been Stanford has been horrendous defending the run this season. But their defense is actually a little bit improved. They're sitting at 60 overall in beta rank. Now, this is still a really, really bad defense. This is a bad Power 5 defense. But they've improved significantly off of where they were last year. They're getting a Washington State offense that kind of stinks, you know, and like is absolutely struggling. Washington State struggles to run the football, but Stanford's pretty good against the pass. Like, they do a really good job limiting yards per attempt. Compared to, like, now they can get gutted by running the football. But the thing is, and we've seen this, is like, there are teams, you know, and I said this about Lincoln Riley, like Lincoln Riley against Arizona wanted to make art and not money. Like, he did not stick with running the football, right? Like, he wanted to carve up Arizona in the air. Wazoo will not run the football, even when it is to their advantage too.
Yeah.
And like, they should show up and run the ball right at Stanford. I mean, the parts of Stanford's defense that's, and we've talked about this for a while, the part that sort of works is Dwayne Aquina's back end on that defense, right? Like, the front seven still is largely working less well against the run. Now, you flip it around though, and here's where it's like, you know, it's basically like, do you think Washington State can win by more than a field goal? You know, almost, because it is Stanford's offense is at 98 overall, and they're struggling. Washington State, like I said, they're probably not at 19, but they're definitely, you know, in the top 25 range for a defense. I mean, I think they're absolutely going to gut the Stanford offense.
The thing that makes me worried, if I'm the five Stanford fans, one that listens to this podcast, by the way, is it seems like, you know, back there, I'm a big fan. I think that the quarterback play has been, like, you know, I don't want to overstate how good Tanner McKee is, but he's a competent quarterback that can throw deep. But he doesn't have the time, man. And I like Washington State's defensive line. That's the one thing, like, because when I looked at this, I thought five, like, oh, that's sneaky, right? Because Washington State can't run the football, so they're running into the weakness of Stanford. But the other but would be, you know, and like, they're not going to be able to throw because the secondary is actually decent at Stanford. The thing that worries me is, like, I trusted Utah's defense to just put an end to this nonsense with all these screens and tunnel screens and bubble screens and all that stuff. And they did. For the most part, they did. They made that offense look dumb because it's dumb. I don't know. I don't know how disciplined Stanford's linebacking core is and some of their secondary players.
And we like that guy Revere. They never throw it to him. Their tight end, H-back, is actually kind of fun. You know, like, but yeah, I'm with you. Like, we talked about this, like, and we've seen this with, and Louisville did this to Wake. In that game this week, was like that slow mesh that Wake and Stanford run, it's susceptible to if you can collapse the pocket, right? Like, if you can really put pressure on the pocket quickly and get on it, then you can really give this problems. And UCLA absolutely collapsed. I mean, the book's out, right? Like, Stanford cannot protect McKee running this slow mesh. And that's a real, I mean, that is a real, real problem coming into this game. Stanford can't really run the ball. They don't seem to be able to throw the ball. I mean, I think this, like, I can't, like, David Shaw is the most stubborn person on God's green earth. But, like, I just don't, I mean, like, things have to change. I mean, this season is so bad, despite the Notre Dame win, right? Like, I'm going to take Washington State here because I just think, I mean, like, I don't know. I mean, like, is there a lot to really, do you feel like there's a lot to cover? I mean, like, that Stanford UCLA game was just a clinic by UCLA. I mean, Stanford was completely MIA offensively.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, how many points are they going to score through the air? Like, cause I can see, I trust the corner, the number six, the guy on the right. And I apologize, Washington State fans, but whatever. He's really good. The rest of the secondary, I'm kind of worried about. And I think there's safety, like, there's been some injuries in the secondary too.
They've done a good job. I mean, they did a good job against SC, who has a bunch of talented receivers, right? I don't think that there's anything quite that daunting. Like, what would worry me in this game was if Stanford hit some big plays.
Yeah.
Right? And I can't predict that. You know, like, if Stanford randomly hit some big ones in this game, I still don't – I would be – what would surprise me in this game is if Stanford was able to consistently drive the ball and move it down the field.
Yeah. Gosh darn. Okay. Five's good. Like, I looked at this initially and I thought, well, that's kind of dumb. But I just don't trust Washington State's offense to be able to do anything interesting. So, right. Gosh darn, am I going to take Stanford? I can't do it.
What did it open at? It opened at, this is always fun. I always like to see like, where things open at and where they end up at. It opened at four and it's come up to five. Beta Ranks got it at seven.
Yeah.
So sharps agree that four was low. I mean, now five may be about the right number, but
it's a good line. Okay. Give me Stanford. I'll take them. I'll take the points. I know.
I'm taking Wazoo. Like
my worry is that the defense isn't good enough or like isn't disciplined enough to be able to just stop the screens, because I don't know if there's anything else. Like, I don't think Washington State, they have that little guy back there that's able to run the ball, but like that guy gets banged up and Jenkins.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll take the points. It's at Stanford. Like I get it. I just want Washington State to be able to move the ball. I don't know if they'll be able to even against this front seven of Stanford. And then anything to mention on Washington State? I mean, like, I just feel like there isn't that much to cover. It was the basic. Is this like? They are who they are now. We kind of have an idea.
Right.
The front seven's decent. I thought they were.
They're a good defense. They're good against the run. They're good against the pass. They're not like they don't specialize particularly in either. You know, like, and that's the backbone of this team. You know, like, what would be interesting in this game is if like does Ward tuck it more, because I think he is a more of a danger running the ball than anyone else on their team.
Yeah. That's very true. That's something to keep a lookout for. And last thing to mention is there was a couple of calls in that Washington State game on Thursday night that like did not go Washington State's way. And so I'm putting an asterisk there because yes, they lost to Utah. I thought Utah played well given the like, I don't think that backup quarterback's all that good. And they were still able to win, but there was a couple like personal foul calls and just some shenanigans in that game that made me a little frustrated. So, all right, let's go Colorado, Oregon. Colorado. Freaking backdoor cover. Kick punt return to be able to take care of business. I took ASU in this game because I thought Trenton Bourquet is actually decent, and he would be decent against Colorado, and he certainly was. 435 yards, 3 touchdowns. The worry, Rob, the worry here is the defense of ASU. There is no scenario outside of 17 turnovers where your defense should be giving up 34 points to Colorado. JT Schrout did have a pick, and but for the most part, like, I mean, look at this box score, Rob. I'm sorry, I was watching this game on mute and just kind of chuckling. But 13 to 34 for 222 yards.
Ouch, dude. I mean, so we talked. I mean, and 2 TDs, right? Like, and not only that, they had a 100-yard rusher. I mean, ASU's defense is bad. They're at 89 right now in beta rank. The offense is improving. They sit at 54 right now. And you're in particular, I think you're right. You know, about Bourget. I don't know if I mispronounced that. Correct me. But yes, like I think that they're largely heading in the right direction. You know, and they're at least offensively, and Iguano called plays. Like, they got a new play caller in. So, like, I mean, Colorado's defense is now they've actually managed to eclipse Arizona as the worst defense in the Pac-12. So there's that, right? Like, Colorado's defense is really bad. And so, like, you know, ASU should should take their, you know, take the automatic, you know, take the automatic good game offensively. But you're right. I mean, like the what killed them here, I mean, giving up 359 yards in total to the Buffs, that wasn't great. And it their defense fell back a little bit afterwards. And like coming into this week, right, like, you know, UCLA, you know, Baderank has UCLA as a bigger favorite than Vegas does here for sure.
Yeah. It's frustrating because like I thought Bourquet was going to be decent, and he was able to take care of business. I do think there's some limitations there. Like, remember, he's the pajama ball, like, champion of the world, and, right. and the team loves him. So I get all that stuff. I think they come up against another and I'm assuming he's going to be the starting quarterback next week, 'cause he should be.
Right.
But I do think that, like, you know, there is a scenario where, all right, the book's out on this guy. Let's cut this crap out. So just keep a look at that. As for Colorado, like, I mean, they were able to, but like, I wouldn't hang my hat on anything that they did this game. Now they have Oregon at home. The spread, Rob, is 31.5 points. I'm going to take them. I think it's like, that's a lot of freaking points. I get it, right? Oregon is just stomping on people, and I appreciate that, right? Like, what they've been able to do has been really solid. But to be able to go up against Colorado, right? Like, and we should mention, right, they covered the spread against Cal, but there was two picks with Plummer. I don't think there was a scenario really where like Cal is ever going to win this game, but the offense, like, you know, the offense is cooking. They scored in 21 points in like one quarter is like some hot stuff. But I don't know. I don't know if this team has that like fifth gear to go on the road on a dumb game against a dumb dumb team at a dumb dumb altitude.
Right? Well, here's the thing that terrifies me about this game is Oregon's defense sucks. Right, like, they're at 83 in beta rank. I mean, they're kind of like, they and USC are kind of like mirror images of each other, right? Like, they both have excellent offenses. You know, like they're both top 10 offenses, and they're going to absolutely like score a ton against Colorado, right? Like, Colorado's defense is at 121 in beta rank. But like, that is a lot of points against, I mean, like, Oregon should, like I would say, like, in a normal, like, normally I'd be like, yeah, or like Baderank has Oregon at 30, almost 37 here. But what terrifies me is Oregon's defense is at 83 overall in Baderank, and like teams that, like, Colorado against comparable, like, against bad defenses, as we saw against ASU, like, now, like, maybe ASU is gonna sit there, like, maybe against Oregon, like, you don't get the, you know, punt return touchdown or something like that in there, but let's say you get the, you know, like, do you think Colorado, like, where do you think Colorado scores less?
I think
they can get into like 24.
So I that's interesting, because I was gonna go the other way, right? Because ASU with like, you know, pajama ball champion, which again, I appreciate, dropped 42 on Colorado. Like,
right.
Like, what's Oregon going to do? Right. Like,
right. But you say that, but like, I mean, ASU scored nearly every time they had the ball. Like, how is Oregon going to outdo that by that much? Right. It's the same thing as like USC in theory should have covered against Arizona. USC's defense is so bad, they couldn't.
Yeah.
Because like USC scored almost every time they had the ball, but they can't stop anybody. Like, it's almost like, well, like, that's, I'm just like, I worry about Oregon's, I don't know. I mean, and this sounds crazy because like they just covered against Cal. And Cal's offense is as bad as Colorado's. It just worries me. Like, I'm going to end up taking Oregon, but like, I just want to put on the record, like, I have some hesitation. Like, I think it's not that I don't think Oregon's really good. I just think they have a really bad defense.
So I think Oregon scores at least 45, possibly 52. And then I'm looking, right? Like, what's JT Shrout going to do? Like, what's
he's gonna throw the ball all over this I don't know that he's this Oregon defense is at 107 in effective pass. Like, they are, Oregon is giving up 2.7 points per drive so far this year, and they are getting torched in the air.
Like, Deion Smith, I'm sorry, I'm gonna change. I'm like, this is such a dumb game.
It is such a stupid game. Like, Oregon, like, because if Oregon in any way takes its foot off the gas with this bad defense, like,
oh, it's 36. Like,
what, what is?
It's 36.5. Is that
that's where
change anything for you?
That's where the that's where the line is right now.
Yeah, I said 32. It's 36.5.
Like, Batering's got it at 36.99. Like, and I think Batering's probably a little high. Oh my God, 36.5. Like,
that's a lot. Like, they're not going to score.
No, I'm taking Colorado. That's too many points with this crap Oregon defense.
Yeah.
I say that like Colorado could absolutely do something incredibly stupid and like turn the ball over like three times and that'll be it. But like, I mean, yeah, like some of those, like Oregon's given up some garbage time points. Like, everyone's given up some garbage time points in Pac-12 play this year. Like, their defense, like, they give up 24 points to Cal. Cal's offense is three blind mice unless they're playing Arizona.
Yeah. Here's basically, if you're going to take Colorado, you are betting that Colorado's scoring 17 points. Can Colorado score 17 points against Oregon?
Yes. I genuinely believe that. Like, there's no part of anyone that should think that like Oregon can hold them under that.
Okay.
I mean, if they can, that would be awesome, because like then Oregon's defense is probably like, this is one of those ones of like, if you're one of the teams within the Pac-12 right now, like most of the games that are left on your schedule, there's no chance to impress. Like, you're not going to like move up in the model by like beating the pants off Colorado. Like, your only thing that you might do is move down by not winning by enough. Right.
Okay. Yeah. I think that's fair. All right. I'll take Colorado 36.5. Let's go. Like, that's a lot of points.
I got bet up in a hurry. Like, that opened at 31.
Yeah. That's what I had.
It opened at 29. Which I got bet up fast.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest line movement of the year for a Pac-12 team.
No, so like, who's Illinois playing this week? Like, Illinois and like Batering was like fully on this with them. Illinois is Michigan State. It opened at 10. Batering has it at 18. It moves up to 17 in a day.
Which is right? Like, Illinois is legit good and Michigan State's legit bad. But
yeah, Illinois has legitimately really good defense. Michigan State is completely falling apart and some of them maybe go to jail. So
yeah, Lord. Okay. All right. Let's move on. I mean, like, anything about Colorado against Cal?
I mean, Oregon against Cal?
Yeah. Sorry.
I mean, I thought this was a good performance. I mean, this was, again, a really good performance. I mean, Nick's had the two interceptions. But I thought this overall was a really good performance for Oregon. Again, they show like they have a really dynamic offense. And I want to call it, like, they're currently sitting at number 5 offensively overall in beta rank. Like they are loaded for bear offensively this season. They're a lot of fun on the offensive side of the football.
Okay. Well, let's do UCLA, number 12 UCLA on the road against Arizona State. And, you know, both these teams, we've talked a little bit about their game. We can dive in a little bit more. As we approach the game, ASU is a 10.5 point underdog at home against UCLA. And UCLA is just cooking on offense. Like you mentioned, Rob, I totally agree even against Oregon, they were able to. Did they not punt the whole game? Like during when they played?
Yeah,
Oregon?
They didn't punt. Like, they had some field goals. They had to turn it, like, you know. But like, they move the ball
and they're going to move the ball against ASU. What's ASU's run defense here?
So ASU's run defense right now sits at number 90. They sit at number 99 in effective rush. They're at 71 in effective pass. But like UCLA, they're at 7 in effective rush, 14 in effective pass. Well, we just talked about Oregon being number 5 offensively. UCLA is at number 6. They're a really, really good football team in their own right. Like they had a really bad game at Oregon. Things didn't go their way. But like I said, like largely they have played really well so far this season.
ASU. A different, they're legit a different team now. I mean, like they are able to move the ball more. I'm curious, what's UCLA's pass defense at?
So they're at 67, and where UCLA really struggles is like you can drive on them, and that's where I think this is kind of interesting for, this game here, because like UCLA doesn't give up a ton of big plays. They're at 12 in explosive drives. They don't force enough three and outs and turnovers, relatively speaking. They're at 33 there. Where they struggle is they're at 127 in drive efficiency. Like you can turn long drives into points against this team, no problem. Like, and so like I think they've done a good job like taking big plays out of the equation for the most part, but they're still giving up. Like they're at 2.2. you know, raw points per drive so far this season. Like ASU, like to your point, like they're likely going to be coming out throwing the ball here. And they are like, I mean, UCLA is a little more vulnerable against the pass. I think what'll be interesting here is like, I think they'll have a harder time. They're going to have a harder time. UCLA's defense is better than Colorado's by a long shot. It's not a good defense, but they're a lot better than Colorado. And ASU is going to have long field most of the game. And this USC offense, they don't turn the ball over. They don't make a lot of mistakes. This is like the version of the Chip Kelly NFL, like the new Chip Kelly NFL style offense that like, I guess he really wanted to build, like that's actually clicking right now.
Yeah. I do think I
like UCLA here, like Bettering's got it by 17. I think that feels right.
Yeah. The one thing is ASU will be able to move the ball down the field. Like I don't think Bourquet is gonna bomb it. I don't think he has the arm to like hit outs and mid-level outs and just gun it down the field. So my worry is that they're able just to move the ball methodically and keep the game close-ish.
I think the pressure. I mean, like I think what like even if this game stays close for like the first two or the first half, I think the pressure of the UCLA offense is going to put on the scoreboard is going to force ASU into mistakes offensively.
Yeah. Cause they're going to come out and just be able to score.
Yeah.
All right. I'll take UCLA. I'm with you on that one. I do think that there's a world where ASU is just able to kind of just hang. Like, I don't think ASU wins this game, but I do think that like they can just hang on. And like, here's the thing with UCLA is that they run an offense that's really hard to, like, it's really hard to say, oh, they're going to be upset because they're going to be able to run the ball on you. So that, like, yeah. I just think that they're going to keep that pedal down. That makes sense. That makes sense. And I think they're going to be able to score enough points to get out of that like 10 and a half point range. Okay, I think UCLA. Up next, Cal at USC, Rob. This is kind of a weird week.
I mean, that's like you go through here and you're like, yeah, there's some games. Like, I mean, it, like, but it's true. Like, there's not a lot of the Pac-12 doesn't have a lot of really good games up until we get to that that weekend where we get the matchups with Oregon and Utah and UCLA and USC. Although we do get Washington, Oregon.
This is the, like, Cal is one of the few teams where I just can't put my finger on them. I know what UCLA, what USC is, right? Like, they're going to be able to score. They're going to be able to put up, like, at least 35, probably more than that. They can run the ball. They can pass the ball. Caleb Williams is just amazing. Like, he's like, I really, for some reason, like, it's probably because USC is like leaving the conference and they've been super arrogant about it. So that might be the reason where I'm just like, because I usually don't have like a bitterness towards USC. I want USC to be good. This year, I'm kind of like, ugh, like I don't like this team. But it is a privilege to watch Caleb Williams play football in college because he's just so much better than everybody else. And he's going to be so much better than Cal. But what is this Cal team? What are the numbers on Cal on both sides?
So right now, Cal is at 57 defensively in beta rank, and like they've been lit up a little bit, right? Like, and they're gonna get another really good offense, you know, coming at them this week. You know, there's, you know, they're at 63 in effective rush, 48 in effective pass. That does bode well. I mean, like, we certainly talked about it last week. Like, USC should have run the ball on one of the worst rushing defenses in college football against Arizona, and they just didn't enough. I think an interesting question, though, too, and one of the reasons I think USC didn't cover last week is, I mean, they had four starters out, and like, yeah, like everybody's got injuries. Like, I had people in the Pac, like in you know, on the Pac-12 Twitter tweeting at me, like, everyone has injuries. Like, not everyone's injuries are like a former number one overall recruit and the like returning Biletnikoff winner.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Like, there's a difference between, you know, Addison and Foreman being out and your guys. So I mean, I think that is an interesting one to keep an eye on in this game, because I think, I mean, USC is at number four offensively. Like, they should be able to come in here and put up points against Cal, right? Like, even a kind of middle of the road power five offense like Arizona, Cal had to rely on turnovers against them, you know, where Delora had those three picks in that game. I think this game is tough. Like, for me, I would say, like, Baderink's got it at 25, and some of that is, like, USC has better special teams than Oregon. But, like, Cal just basically played this game against an incredible offense and a pretty mediocre defense. And it does, like, I mean, it kind of makes you wonder, you know, like, can USC – who also, I mean, who just play, like, can USC keep, I mean, how many do you think they score? I mean, like, they just scored 45 on Arizona. Like, Arizona's terrible, terrible on defense, right? Like, so, like, I think USC is a little better than Oregon offensively. Not much, but a little. You know, like, they could come into Cal and put up more points. But, like, what does Vegas have it as currently?
So, right now, the line is Cal 21.5. Is
there, USC's 21.5?
Yeah, USC's the favorite.
I mean, Oregon won by a little more than that. I think Oregon was like, what was that, 17?
Yeah, 17.
I mean, I just by a nose, I like USC versus that number. Like, just barely. Like, that's a tough one.
I think this Cal team is competent enough to, and they're at home, to put up just enough to be able to cover. Like, I think,
see, like, mm-hmm. they could run. I mean, Cal, what's weird is, like, Cal can't run the ball unless they're playing Arizona, right? And that's like USC's kryptonite.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. Like, Ott had, good Lord, 14 for 57 against Oregon. That is gross.
Who does not have a good defense, right? That's... I don't know. Like, it's, so if you talk yourself into it, like, I mean, Oregon is like Cal, or like, our USC is at 82 defensively. Oregon's at 83.
Yeah.
Like, the only real separation between these teams is, like, USC has better special teams by a little bit. And their offense is at, like, a nose better, not much.
Are you talking about between USC and Oregon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, I mean, yes, the matchups are going to be a little bit different, but, like, we just basically saw that, like, a version of this game. And Nick threw some picks, right, that kept this game probably a little closer.
Yeah, so did Plummer, though.
That's true.
I just think that, like, you know, at some point you have enough, like, I just, like, this Cal, I think this Cal program is dumb, but I do think that they're, like, buttoned up enough to kind of just keep things close. And I know that Jack Plumber got injured in this game, but it looks like he's coming back. And I think that they're just going to be able to do enough to be able to get there. Like, look, this USC team is flawed and their schedule is light. And it just asks a lot. It's kind of like Oregon. You're asking a lot of these teams to keep going and just stepping on the throat of teams and games that really don't matter all that much. And you're asking them to do it on the road. And, you know, if I think Cal is just a competent enough team to not get embarrassed at home in front of, like, the 10 fans that are going to be there. Give me Cal. I'm probably not betting this game because, you know, there's a chance USC again scores like 52 and Cal scores 24 and then I'm kind of hosed. But I think the margin there is a little wider than I'm comfortable with. So are you taking SC?
I'm going to take SC. Like, I think they're going to, I mean, I'm a little worried, like, if Addison doesn't play and Foreman doesn't play, like, I could end up, you know, like, looking dumb. Like, I think USC is different with those guys, but I'm going to take USC.
Yeah. Arizona's defense is dumb. Cal's defense isn't dumb. It's...
No, they're not. They're not. But they did just get torched by Oregon.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll keep a lookout there. Up next, let's do Arizona is a 17.5 point favorite. Or sorry, favorite, LOL, dog on the road against Utah. And, you know, Utah having some injuries here. So, first, Utah just is the worst place to play in the world if you're an opposing team. Like that, like Salt Lake City is lit.
Yeah.
That stadium is awesome. It's going to be freaking cold. Arizona is not used to the cold. That's a lot of points though for Arizona, a team that can score and is dealing with a banged up Utah team. I'm curious what you think about this game.
This is a funny one. So this opened at 18 and it's down.
Yeah.
like the money came in on Arizona. So Betarang's got this at 19.8. But there are some reasons for concern, I think, if you're Utah here. Not to lose the game, but to cover. Utah is not USC and it is not Oregon offensively. You know, and it's not even Washington offensively. They're a very good offense. They're at number 20 overall in beta rank. And they're likely going to be able to put up some points against this Arizona squad. And they may, you know, very well, you know, do what USC would not do and just lean into the run against what is a very, very bad run defense, 122 in effective rush. And we have seen that when teams are willing to do that, you know, like there's money to be made against Arizona. I got to say, though, like the thing that just gives me pause here is like Utah's defense is like by Pac-12 standards decent. They're at 37 overall in beta rank. They are struggling. They are giving up some big plays. They're at number 56 in explosive drives. They are not forcing enough three and outs. Now their really good number is drive efficiency. They find ways to take advantage of that their offense often gives them good field position, and they find ways to get off the field. But they have a big run pass split. They're at 25 in effective rush. They're at 58 in effective pass. Arizona is at 36 offensively. They do not give two craps about putting together long drives to put up points. They're at number 99 in drive efficiency. They're at 19 in explosive drives. Like, this is like an all big play offense. Like, when they put it together, like, they're getting big chunk plays down the field, and they're at 12 in effective pass. I just don't think, I mean, unless Delora turns it over, like, I just, this is like, this is one where, like, I think if you open up the hood on the matchup, like, I don't, like, I think if Utah's defense was more balanced, I'd have a little more faith here. But, like, outside of Clark Phillips, like, they've really struggled in coverage, and they're not getting great pass rush going. Like, they're not getting good push up front. And Delora's fairly elusive in the pocket. If he buys time, he's going to find guys open.
Well, and the other thing is Dalton Kincaid looked legit hurt in that game against Washington State, and he's awesome. Like, and I want to give a shout out to Hithloday, because Hithloday was all over Kincaid last year, right? When everybody, myself included, was looking at the other tight end who is like, Kincaid has been so good. The other, Keithy, like, right. Everybody's looking at Keithy, and Hithloday's like, yo, Kincaid's the truth. And he is, and he looked like he broke his arm or like did something to his shoulder. That injury looked real bad. In addition, I don't know what I'm getting, if I'm getting Cam Rising. I'm assuming he's playing. But I'm curious what's going on in that running back room. I know they have a lot of players, but Thomas is better. and he didn't play. And like Arizona can move the football. Like I don't just think that Arizona, I don't believe it's going to happen. But if there's one dumb Arizona game this year, this is it, on the road at Utah, that could likely be banged up with a defense that has been a little bit more of a mirage than what you see on the uniforms. This is one of those where like I might sprinkle that money line just a tiny bit, but I'm taking the points. That'd be also like there is a world where Utah runs the ball 75 times. It just shuts this game down. And like Whittingham, of all the coaches, Whittingham is the one that's smart enough to be like, yeah, why are we even throwing this football around?
Right. So, like he is not going to be like Lincoln Riley. Like he is not going to like create his masterpiece. Like Kyle Whittingham will be happily sign up to just grind you into the turf. And Delora throws a pick and that's the end of the game. You know, like Delora throws a pick to Clark Phillips and Phillips runs it back for a touchdown. That.
Yeah, Whittingham is selling limited time screen prints of the first painting he made, right? Like that's what he's doing.
Like Arizona is at the point right now where like their worst wide receiver was one of the top wide receiver like recruits in the country, right? Like Singer had a monster game against USC. Like I don't think Utah's got the horses to cover those guys.
Yeah. Give me the points. Give me Arizona.
Even Arizona's like walk-on tight end they picked up is actually kind of good. I don't know what to say about this Arizona offense. There are many, many problems with it still, but like they're kind of fun.
Yeah. Like if you're a Utah fan, you're watching this game. Like Arizona will throw the ball against your defense, and Delora might.
They don't run the ball. Fish will not commit to running the ball. It's all the routes are at least 10 yards down the field. Like they're not messing around. Like they're going hunting for deep balls all the time.
Yeah. And if like, so the key here is you got good Delora and bad Delora, you got good Bo and bad Bo, right? Like he's the homeless man's Bo Nix, right? Where he tries to force things. And if you can get to him and Utah's defensive line isn't great, but you know, Arizona's offensive line is worse. You know, it's possible that you can get him off his toes and just run around and do dumb stuff. But if he doesn't, like Arizona doesn't just have a chance to like keep up, like they have a chance to win this game, like which sounds bizarre. But if Whittingham just runs it down their throat, like you're going to have to force, you know, Nance to actually figure out what to do there. We'll see if they can. I'm taking the points. Keep a lookout for this game, particularly if there's injuries on Utah's side. If there wasn't, then I wouldn't be saying what I'm saying. I think that team's pretty banged up, and I don't trust their wide receivers. Like I just don't think they're that good. I know Muddy Parks had a good catch. I know that the walk-on quarterback, you know, dropped a couple dimes, but I think with Kincaid out, this is a different team, and I'm curious what it is. So, you know, anything else? Like I did think, all that said, like we mentioned this at the beginning of the podcast, Utah won with a backup quarterback, a backup, you know, running back, and no kicker, like on the road at the Palouse.
Right.
So
right.
Like,
I mean, that was a really like they ground out a win, Arizona's offense is not Washington State's. You know, like they're like Washington State could not take advantage of what Utah struggles with defensively. Like Arizona can't. Like that's what makes this matchup interesting. Is like on paper, just on like raw metrics, like Utah should be able to handle Arizona. But when you like dive deeper onto the numbers, like this is a somewhat favorable matchup for the Arizona offense. Like I say that, like we could get bad Delora. I mean, Delora is full on a roller coaster. So we haven't had a real bad Delora game in a bit.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, one more note on that Arizona game. There was a couple bad calls there, similar to the Utah Washington State. Yeah, that like there was a personal foul called. So basically, what happened was, I think this was after the onside kick too. You know, USC's up 20 or something like that, or 14 or whatever. Kicks an onside kick. Arizona scores. They give it back to SC. I think Arizona stops SC, and Arizona's driving. Arizona stops
driving. They're up by 7, and they're stopped on like third down.
Yeah, and it was like 3rd and 8 or 3rd and, and it was a, you know, it was in that range where like maybe they try to kick the field goal, but probably not. And yeah, Arizona bumps. Like, you know, it was a little aggressive, bumps Williams out of bounds, but then he gets up in his face and the ref throws the flag. And if he doesn't throw that flag, you know, there's a chance that Arizona comes back and makes this more of a game, similar to the Utah Washington State game, where like there's just a couple plays where if the flag gets picked up, it's a different. I don't know if the outcome is different, but certainly the game is much tighter and much more. You're like sweating out. So anyway, I thought that was interesting. All right, we're both taking Arizona last game, which I think is kind of the most interesting game of the week, and that is Oregon State, number 23. Oregon State still ranked 6-2, is a 3.5-point dog on the road against Washington. And this line, Rob, doesn't make sense to me.
this line does not make sense at all.
No, why should Washington be favored against Oregon State?
So like Baderank has this as like basically a toss up. Like Washington's favored by a third of a point against Oregon State, right? Like that's basically it's like this is where Baderank's like it's basically pick 'em, gives a slight nod to the home team. This is going to be a really interesting game. Like Oregon State comes in at 33 overall in Baderank. Washington comes in at number 37. Washington's defense is an absolute eyesore. They're at 97 overall in Baderank. They're at 123 in effective pass. Their pass defense is so bad, it is almost to the point of like it doesn't matter who's going to play against them. You could throw the ball, and I think that's like you know Oregon State has you know they're not exactly an offensive juggernaut. They're at 46 offensively this season. They've definitely taken a little bit of a step back. They're at 33 in effective rush, but 59 in effective pass. Like, I think they're going to be able to run the ball okay against Washington, but I think they're going to be able to throw the ball too, because Washington's pass defense is just that bad. You know, and I mean, Washington's giving up 2.61 points per drive defensively there. I mean, you flip it around, like this is going to be kind of a fun mashup. Like Washington's offense is at number 11 in Baderank. They're a terrific passing offense. They get it by Pac-12 standards, pretty good Beaver defense, like 29 in Baderank. They're a little better against the run, 27 in effective rush than they are against the pass. But like, I mean, this is going to be a fun matchup. Like I expect Washington's still absolutely going to be able to put up some points here, but like the Beavs are going to slow it down. They're going to take their time when they have the football, and I expect them to be able to put up points too.
Yeah, I don't like, so I nailed this in terms of picking what I thought the spread would be. I said Washington 3.5, but I just don't agree with it. I just think that Oregon State is, I think they have a chance to win this game. I'm curious to see how, what's Washington's run defense again? Where are they ranking?
47.
47.
But a part of it is like you have, so like, when your pass defense is that bad, like teams are often not going to run the ball against you very much too. I mean, like that Baderank, the defensive metrics are calculated at the margin. So, you know, like it's not that like, you know, it's not how many times someone runs against you. It's what happens, you know, when they do run, you know? So I would say like their run defense is better, but it's not good. 47 overall is not a good run defense.
Yeah. I think Oregon State wins this game. I think they just grind one out. And, you know, Washington, like, I just think that this is I don't think Oregon State's as good as some folks think that they are, but it's a competent team that's going on the road against a team that doesn't know how to play defense. So give me the points. I'm getting the hook and I'll take the Beavs. How about yourself? Who are you taking?
I'm going to take the Beavs.
Okay. All right. Well, that wraps everything up this week, Rob. Anything else you want to plug?
I got to do the Saturday Say. I've just been crazy busy at work. I got to get this edit. Also, of course, Halloween happened. I got to get the Saturday 6 done tomorrow. I'm excited. Like, check out FCS Baderank. Like, it's starting to get really dialed in. especially if you look at, like, the FCS top 25 ranking. Baderank's been crushing that of late. Like Baderank is often taking teams that the voters would think of as an underdog in FCS games, Baderank's pulling it out. Like Sacramento State beat Montana 2 weeks ago. and turned the ball over four times and still won. So
that's awesome.
And Montana was like the number three team in like the FCS top 25 ranking, and I was like, no, I think this is the other way around.
Huh. Well, yeah, keep a lookout for that. That's fascinating. The FCS games. We also have FBS stuff, Sharp College Football on YouTube, sharpcollegefootball.com. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in, and we'll catch you next week.